This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome in. Who dat? Welcome into the Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network at Fat Boys Pizza, 2565 Metairie Road near LeBar Road. You wear a Saints jersey today, you get a 16-ounce draft beer. Our home for the Point After, size matters, home of the two-foot challenge, Fat Boys Pizza. Once again, 2565 Metairie Road. The Saints win 13-6 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. It wasn't necessarily the most offensive-driven game, but nonetheless, I'm starting to wonder, is this Saints defense an elite one? I think we're seeing them play at an elite level over the last four games. Average starting field position today for the Saints. This is a huge stat, and it's not going to seem like it is, but I'll explain it. The average starting field position for the Saints today at their own 32. Jacksonville at the 18. Think about that. Their average starting field position was at their own 18. You got to go on long, sustained drives. That's hard for any offense to do. For any offense, it's hard to go on that many sustained drives to get points. And I just think that's an amazing stat. By the way, Cam Jordan has tied Pat Swilling for third place in sacks in franchise history, 76.5.
Well, that's good company. Dawn Patrol member and Cam Jordan tied. And, you know, rightfully so, because Pat Swilling was a stud and Cam Jordan's a stud. I mean, you look at Sweet Swill. I mean, he was NFL Defensive Player of the Year. So Cam Jordan's in that category. I mean, he is that outstanding, his effort. You look at every day, whether he's getting after the passer or every game or just playing the run. He's just outstanding. And you know who's been outstanding against the Jaguars is Sean Payton coach team. You know what Sean Payton's record is versus the Jaguars?
He's undefeated.
4-0. Sean Payton has not lost to Jacksonville, so he's definitely had their number.
Yeah, you could probably explain this better than me. I just talked about the average starting field position for the Saints. It was at their own 32. For Jacksonville, their own 18. People don't realize how significant that is because you don't have to go for the first down. Yeah.
You have to look at it, that's like a first down and a half. That is significant. I mean, it's not like unbelievable, but that does make a difference when it's a close game, because we always say, what if you do great in the return game? That's one less first down you got to get if you can average double digits. Or then if you have a score, I mean, that's unbelievable. But when you look at the Saints, listen, we're now 2-2 on the road against Jacksonville. Christian, we now, you know, because they just came into the league, we played them seven times. We're now 5 wins and only 2 losses. And like I said, 5 of those wins, Sean Payton has 4 of them. But you know what else? Speaking of Sean Payton, when we commit 0 turnovers, we're now 40 wins and 5 losses. So just don't turn over the ball.
They win.
It doesn't matter if it's 3-2 or 7-6 or let's say we don't score a touchdown and we kick another field goal, 9-6. It all counts the same.
At the end of the year, they're not going to go back and give you style points.
No. It's not like you're going to go up in the polls
right, or
anything. No, a win is a win, a loss is a loss. But committing 0 turnovers under Sean Payton, the Saints are now 40-5. And then when allowing 20 or fewer points, 75 wins and 8 losses. So I always tell you this, what's the winning formula? Our defense hold them to 20 or under, and we don't turn over the ball. I like our percentages a whole lot under Sean Payton. Now, we're going to win any type of game we're playing if we're able to do that. Now, easier said than done. And the other one that's ridiculous under Sean Payton, and we had a chance maybe, 4 turnovers. It didn't matter if we turn over. We just forced 3 turnovers with 32-6. Now, we didn't get that today.
They could have had those.
We ended up being a +1. Now we +2 for the season. And the Jaguars are -5. So un-Jaguar-like to see where they're at. But overall, what can you say? Just great defense. They were only 4 of 14, 29%. They only had 75 net yards rushing. Now, you have to realize 75 net yards rushing, and then they averaged 3.1 yards a carry. They were second in the NFL, averaging 5.5. Okay, they want to run the ball. Leonard Fournette wants to run the ball. I would say, yes, we contain Leonard Fournette. You look at total, he had 118. But listen, again, we do not let a running back get over. Now this is impressive because when you look at it, how hard it is to do and to stay in this. Now, 32 straight games, the Saints have not allowed an individual 100-yard rusher. And Leonard Fournette was averaging 102.5. Well, that did not happen against LSU. Against the Saints. He didn't have a big run. 3.5-yard average, he only had 72 total.
His long was 16.
Long 16. But Latavius Murray, I wrote at halftime, Sean needs to give him more opportunities. If you look at it, 8 rushing attempts. He had 3 receptions. He ended up having 79 total yards. So I think Alvin Kamara, now I knew his ankle was bummed and his kind of knee. Well, we're getting ready to play the Bears. Well, shouldn't we have Latavius Murray more involved against Chicago to try and spread the wealth? And because we need Kamara healthy. We need him to be explosive. I thought Bridgewater was very average, but he did lead the team to a win. He did not turn over the ball. He had like a handful of passes where the receivers open, he just missed them. It was just high throws. But Okoriko wasn't better. Yeah, I thought we had him confused.
Minshew Mania turned into Minshew Minutia.
His quarterback rating was like 51.5, and you're not winning anything. He wasn't even 50%. So I think, you know, it was crazy. It's coming to fruition where we were so spoiled that we can outscore opponent, and we had Drew Brees and Sean Payton. We winning without defense.
Is this defense elite?
Oh, now, I don't know if we're winning, to say we have an elite defense right now. They need to keep stacking it because we still – can you be a top 10 defense for more than a month? Not be all of a sudden flash in the pan. We still, I would say, overall the middle of the pack, but we trending to be amongst the best. Now, as far as when you look at accomplishments like the Bears have done it a number of games, and it's going to be a challenge. I don't know. The game next week might be 13-10. It might be 17-13, as long as we win, because the game next week is way more important than this game because it's NFC. And who knows about the tiebreaker. So hopefully we're going to bring it against the Bears, because one thing, Drew, you see him wiggling his thumb, exercising his thumb. He's not coming back against the Bears. The earliest prognosis would be the Cardinals. If you miss the Cardinals, you got an extra week as the bye week and against Atlanta at home. That's what I'm kind of thinking because you're winning with Teddy. But put it this way, how Teddy played against Jacksonville today, if that was in the Dome would have not been hollering, Teddy, Teddy, Teddy. No, they would have got
saying Taysom. They've been calling for Taysom, I promise.
They would have got a little frustrated. But the bottom line is he got it done when it counted. Sean even commented on that 31 pass to Jerry Cook. Yeah. I mean, Christian, that looked like a pass from you. He's like floating it out there. Throw him the ball. You could do the play action, do everything right.
I think he was surprised how open he was.
Well, yeah, you still got to throw it to him. Because, man, the NFL, you can't lob that ball up there. Safety's going to come up there, and they can end up knocking it down. So a good thing that was complete. But now that was one of his best passes, I would say. Top 3 passes was the touchdown to Jared Cook, because that was not bad coverage. How he put it high, that was almost like a going to like a basketball pass. How he has leverage, you just throw and he's kind of blocking him out.
Yeah.
And that was a perfect pass, but he needs to do more of that.
Well, we're being critical of a guy that went 24, 36, 240 in a touchdown. I mean, I get it. It wasn't last week. He put up great numbers last week.
Well, we spalled.
Right, yeah. I mean, he went 24, 36. Look, the Jacksonville Jaguars would have loved to reverse that line with Gardner Minshew. Minshew went 14 of 29 for 163 and one interception. I mean, the Jaguars would love to have that kind of day from their quarterback.
Well, and the one thing I was a little frustrated, but Christian, I'm looking at the red zone. We were only 1 of 3, mm-hmm. But guess what the Jaguars were coming into the game? They gave up 33% against – we only scored one of three, 33%. They gave up 33%. They were number six in the league. So teams have not scored in the red zone against the Jaguars. You know, when you say like, oh, well, come on, the Jaguars, they got mauled by the Panthers. They got gashed. It wasn't necessarily red zone plays. It was chunk plays. It wasn't red zone. The Jaguars have been outstanding in the red zone. Like I said, six best, only giving up 33%. Well, that's what the Saints were, one of three. Now, this, when you say red zone percentage, what we're talking about is you get in the red zone and it's inside the 20, are you getting a touchdown or not? Now, obviously, you don't want a turnover, but you don't want to kick a bunch of field goals. Because you know, that's almost like when you're bending both sides. If both teams are moving the ball, you hear bend but don't break, it'd be like, okay, but we stopped him. We make him kick the field goal where now we got a touchdown. So now we both successful offensively, but in the red zone, now we're winning 7-3. And that's why the Jaguars been outstanding. So that did not surprise me that they were stout in the red zone because they've done that the first six games of the season.
13-6, it's the point after here, 25-65. Metairie Road, Fat Boys Pizza, size matters on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here at the point after, Fat Boys Pizza in Metairie. Come on out. It's great weather. Got outdoor seating. Come hang out and who dat celebrate a 13-6 victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars. A family-style restaurant serving up huge slices of pizza, ice-cold draft and bottled beer, daiquiris, and delicious sides. 10 TVs with outdoor dining. Come celebrate a victory here at Fat Boys Pizza, 2565 Metairie Road near LeBar Road. And Bobby's pointing to his notes.
Notes, and I'm looking. They got one TV on the Jets and Cowgirls game. It's always a great day when Dallas is struggling. When the Cowgirls are struggling, what, they losing to the Jets 7-0? I'm telling you, the Cowgirls are L Succo. Listen, now you can say you lose to the Saints. Or lose to Green Bay. Like, oh, well, you know, that's a playoff team. But the Jets? What? J-E-T-S. Jets. I'm telling you, Jerry Jones, the big apple, he's choking on that apple right now, you know, playing the Jets. But I don't know what's going to happen. I think Dallas will come back.
You were pointing at your notes asking me to read your handwriting.
Yeah,
I can't do that.
Well, listen, I said this in the pregame. Because I was so proud when I was part of this, we were 20-0 in interconference games, and then we lost that 21st game. Remember when I told you this is in the early 90s to the late 80s, early 90s to the Buffalo Bills? They had went to four straight Super Bowls. We're now the Saints under Sean Payton. They're now riding a 9-game winning streak against interconference play. Now, why would you bring that up? You know why? Because that means interconference play, we kick the Patriots' ass. Because that day in the other conference, that's why I still say, listen, come on, we'd have scored more than 3 points in the Super Bowl against New England. So when I saw this, that we're building upon, I go, well, I got to mention that we've had the AFC's number. We've had the number. Now winning 9 in a row, and we've done it against the Texans, and now we've done it against the Jaguars, and you know, we got to beat the AFC South. You know how you rotate who you got to play? Now, Deuce and I talked about this in Zach. You know what's going to be interesting? We're all worried about Andrew Luck, about what was going to occur. Did y'all watch primetime, that Colts offensive line whipping up on the Chiefs? Well, you better pack a lunch against them. They got Jacoby Brissett, and I know that's down the road. And that's when you have to look at who's winning in the trenches because I like the way we structured against the Titans, but we playing the Colts at home, I'd be encouraged by that. So I think that streak will continue. I think when all said and done, when you look at interconference play, we're at 9 games right now. I think that's going to be double-digit going forward.
To the phones we go here. David on a cell phone. What's going on, David? You're on the point after on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Good. How are you?
Hey, David. What you got, man?
All right, I got a good question for you. When's the last time Tulane, LSU, the Saints, and the Pelicans all won in the same weekend? And do you realize that Tulane's 5-1, LSU is 6-0, Saints are 5-1, and the Pelicans are 3-0
in the preseason?
Well, the bottom line is if you go to a local game, they're going to win. So we're supporting winners. So how can
you? I get what David's trying to get at.
Yeah, how can you not embrace that?
Look, this city, we talked about it a little bit last week with the Pelicans ramping up. They start the regular season here shortly by the end of this month. The end of October, November, December, into January, hopefully into February with the success the Saints are having, LSU and Tulane, and then, of course, the national championship game is here in the Superdome. And this place is going to be insane around here.
Well, the thing is, we appreciate like great football, and always I should say it might not be great at times, but winning football, you want to support a winner, you want to be in that number. And right now, for instance, if you go to a Jets game and they play in Dallas, you go, oh, I want to be entertained, let's go to a pro game. You're not expecting to win. You go to a Saints game, I don't care if it's at home or on the road, aren't you expecting to win? Now try to tell the Houdat Nation, look, we're not going to win every game. I said, if you could tell me right now to show you how I kind of play the percentages, I said I would take a loss against Jacksonville if you could tell me we're going to beat the Bears and the Cardinals. Because I look at tiebreakers in the NFC when all's said and done. The same thing with the Texans. We beat the Texans. It was unbelievable to get off to a great start. But when all's said and done, boy, you got to win those conference games. And when you look at that tiebreak, and obviously we all know – we're getting ready. We want to know in the division. But, boy, right after that bye, it's like bam, bam, bam. It's all division games. Boy, and then all of a sudden we got the momentum. Hopefully, you know, I'd say realistic. Oh, we're going to win every game in the division. We're going to go 6-0. No. You're hoping to be 4-2 and then 5-1. You should win the NFC South to be 5-1.
Well, you look at the NFC right now. I was looking at the records earlier. In the NFC – The Packers are the only one that are leading their division with the only one loss.
And the
Seahawks, I mean, the Niners are undefeated.
And the Packers, you can never hate their fans. Their fans are two nights. They wear a piece of cheese on their head. How can you be against that?
No.
They're not like Bears fans. They're nice people. The Packer fans are nice people.
Not the Bears fans.
No, I'm not saying not the Bears. That's what scares me, though. Aaron Rodgers could still flick it, and their defense is better. So I think with their defense being better, I'd much rather. Now, you might think that I would say, oh, we got to get the Packers at home. I don't necessarily think so, because I think Aaron Rodgers would be way better in a dome. I just look what he's done on the playoffs in a controlled environment versus at Lambeau. I think we road warriors. Again, I said this before the game. The third best record in the NFL since 2009 on the road, the Saints. In the whole NFL, we are road warriors. We can handle it. I'm telling you, I just know. Now, I'm going jumping way ahead of myself.
Yes, you are.
But I think the Packers are that legit. I just think because their defense is better.
Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. The Saints win 13-6 and prove the 5-1. We're Fat Boys Pizza, 2565 Metairie Road near LeBar Road. Home of the two-foot challenge, and size matters. This is the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
At Fat Boys Pizza, 2565 Metairie Road, our new home. Welcome into the Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. You wear a Saints jersey today, and you get a 16-ounce draft beer. It's a family-style restaurant serving up huge slices of pizza, ice-cold draft and bottled beer, daiquiris and delicious sides, 10 TVs, outdoor dining, lots of space to come enjoy some great food. Bobby and myself during our broadcast this evening until 6 p.m., and then stick around to watch NFL Sunday Night Football where the Steelers play the Chargers. Bobby, what's troubling still to you?
Well, what's troubling, now, we kind of helped out the cause because it wasn't 9-6. It was 13-6 type victory. You know, coming into the game, we only had one touchdown drive on the road so far. So now we got two. So, listen, you got to get touchdowns when you get down there. When your defense is playing like they're playing, you got to take advantage of it. So that was somewhat troubling. But how we contained Leonard Fournette, speaks volumes. We kind of beat the Jaguars at their own game. What I mean by that, always a measuring stick. Can you get 100 yards? It was nothing to write home about, but we had 104 yards rushing, and the Jaguars had 75. Now, again, they were averaging 5.5 yards a run. They got 3.1. I think I heard Deuce say this because I talked about this in the pregame. They were number two in the NFL on first downs, gashing people 7.2 yards. They didn't even get half of that.
The Saints won a lot on first down today.
And that was key because Jacksonville has been winning on first down. And you know what I liked also about the game? You might have questioned some penalties. But, Christian, only, I guess, the penalties that were accepted, only five. Three against the Saints, two against the Jaguars. It wasn't
That's like, uncharacteristic for Jerome Bogard's
right.
crew.
It wasn't like 15, 20 penalties.
Nah, they're one of the more flag-happy crews in the National Football League.
And then you brought this up, time of possession. I think with Teddy Bridgewater, the way he plays, not necessarily with Drew, but with Bridgewater, that's important that we won the time of possession by 6 minutes plus. And if we can do that, because, listen, I don't care. Let me tell you this, Houdat Nation, Tiger Nation, Tulane, whatever, whoever you support. The thing is this, Christian. When you look at and the way this game is structured today, I've heard some fans that go and they want to take up for the defense. Oh, well, the offense scored too fast. What? Scored too fast? If any offense goes three or four plays and they get a touchdown, so what? You want them not to score?
Bobby,
you want them to fall down? So wait. If they scoring that fast, what you got to do if you want to rest defensively? How about force a three and out? Or how about maybe let them get a first down? Then force a three and out or force them to punt. You know, oh, defense is tired. Defense is tired. I'm looking at Florida having those long, sustained drives last night. We'll freaking stop them. Stop it. Don't worry about how LSU's scoring. I don't care what offense it is. If Drew Brees, bam, bam, we're scoring. Come on, defense. Force a three and out. Get off the field. Then you can go rest, and then the offense will keep adding those points. To me, that gets me so mad when they go, oh, well, we're not helping our defense. We scored too fast. What? We scored. What are you talking about? It's not three and out, three and out, three and out. That,
Bobby.
That to me is a pet peeve. That bothers the heck out of me.
What's interesting to think about now is the Saints might have turned into a defensive-oriented team structured to win games like this. Even though you're going to get Drew back, and I know the production's going to go up
right
offensively, but, I mean, I can't remember a time the Saints have had a defense under Sean Payton that has been this good.
Well, on the back end of the season, if you look, we kicked the Bengals.
End, yeah.
We kicked the Bengals behind in Cincinnati. That was like the JV versus the varsity. Then our offensive lineman got hurt. Then we had games. We not was the new greatest show on turf and all that. Our defense helped us win games. I think that's when it kind of turned. And then, you know, you have ups and downs. But I think we're at right now with all the confidence. I think we know we can win defensively. Now, can you do it, and not just in spurts, but can you establish yourself? Like, for instance, don't you view the Bears defense who we play next week as they seems like they kick ass every week? Now, their offense might not do jack, but it's not like, oh, well, the defense did their job. So, no, it's going to be a challenge. I think we need a pack of lunch. I think their defense is going to bring it, and I think our defense is going to bring it. So what do? Limit your mistakes, end up on the plus side, and find a way to win.
I hope Trubisky plays. I'd rather face Trubisky than Chase Daniel.
Listen, when you're thinking about who you're facing and what quarterback you want to face it now, that was the case of last night, Felipe. I mean, Florida's offense was a whole lot better where they at now than with Felipe. Okay, today, Nick Foles. I mean, you might say overall where they're at, you think he'd have did better than Minshew? You think he'd have did better?
I do.
So you don't think we'd have got after him?
We'd have gotten – I think the Saints would have gotten after him. I think he probably cashes in one of those field goals into a touchdown.
Okay, but we might play Nick Foles better than we did than we play Minshew.
Chuck B. in Mid-City. What's going on, Chuck B? You're on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
What's up, my friend, Mr. Christian? Bobby.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, what you got, Chuck?
I'm going to say, like, give me 60 seconds on the clock. Here's what I'm going to say, man. First of all, Bobby, you are way ahead of yourself because there's no way in any situation where I would want to play Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau Field at that time of the year. He's used to that. We're not. So he would have a stark advantage. If you get him in a dome environment, at least we got an even chance to go toe-to-toe. You don't want to be at a disadvantage on that. Second thing.
Well, we got a kick-ass defense like the Packers. I mean,
what he's saying is it travels. That kind of defense travels and goes anywhere it needs to go and can win. It's portable.
But listen, because I don't want to make my point. I don't want to lose my time. But my point is, your quarterback, as great as he is, our offense is not used to playing in those conditions at that time of the year. That gives their offense an advantage that we don't have.
Well, look at the Packers in the playoffs in a controlled environment. Their offense has been awesome.
I'm just talking about in terms of our team giving us a fair chance. You know,
I know, but Chuck B, here's what I would tell you to that though. Saints can run the football and they can stop the run. That travels. That goes places. Man, that wins.
It does, but okay. All right. On a second note, as it relates to Pat Swilling and
Cam Jordan.
Yeah, Cam, congratulations to Cam, because Cam is doing it without a Ricky Jackson on the other side, without the Dome Patrol linebacking core, without that front second, without jumping together, without all them dudes up front. Without them, Cam is doing it. So congratulations to Cam. What he's done to me is not to knock Pat, because he was a part of that historic defense, but, bro, he's doing a lot of that without the major help that Patrick had, and we love Pat's willing.
I hear you, Chuck B, but that D-line – I mean, you're kind of underselling them. I mean, you're getting really good play from Marcus Davenport, Malcolm Brown, David Onyemata, and Sheldon Rankin. So he is getting – I get what you're saying, but it sounds like someone that hears that, it sounds like the rest of the guys are just bums, and they're not.
Well, while defense is still ranked in the middle of the pack instead of being top 10, Chuck B. Christian, is because we've given up garbage yardage at the end when the game's well in hand. Can you sustain when you got a substantial lead? Can you still be dominant?
I don't think that they care. That's the thing.
But I'm just saying, if you want a reputation as being like the Bears or dominant defense, that no matter what time in the game, even Dennis Allen mentioned this. No, we not let our guard down. Even though you understand the task at hand, you don't want to give up the big play. You could still be dominant and not let our opposing team. Look what happened against the Texans. You can't give up two plays, 75-yard drive. Right. Gash. Look what even happened against Winston. Even, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's BS yardage. But if they want to have that reputation, I think that's when they got to close out games. And instead of winning by one score, you're winning by two scores. Then people recognize you more. That's all I'm saying.
Coming back for Chase, Hollywood, Chuck B., thanks for the phone call. Kurt, Chris, Brandon, Jack. Got one line open at 504-260-1870, 2565 Metairie Road. The Point After continues from Fat Boys Pizza on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here at the Point After, Fat Boys Pizza, 2565 Metairie Road. Going to the live mic for Liz.
Yeah, Liz, this is Don's daughter from Lakeview.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if Don's going to claim her right now, but she's entitled to her opinion.
Go ahead, Liz.
What you got, Liz?
Hey, guys. Hey, Bobby. Hey, Christian. Thanks so much for having me on here. I know what I'm about to say is going to be really irritating. It's going to cause a huge eye roll from the majority of the demographic. I don't know. But, you mentioned earlier about the Cowboys, and something that really just is grinding my gears is that you keep calling the Cowboys the cowgirls.
Because they're feminine.
Well, right. Well, and you know what? And the thing that really just gets under my skin is that you are making it sound like being a girl is something to be ashamed of.
No, being a girl.
It sounds like a weakness.
No, that really
gets under my skin. And you guys can boo me all you want.
No, we're not going to boo you.
What I'm saying is valid.
No, it's not valid. A girl will never be able to play in the National Football League. Listen, the most masculine female will never be able to play in the NFL. Come on. Listen, you could be a kick-ass, the number one female in the world. You'll never play in the NFL. You cannot. You can't even play major college football. And there's nothing wrong with that. Listen, you could be feminine. You could be masculine, and you're female. It doesn't matter. But a cowgirl shows that the cowboys aren't as tough as what you expect. That's all. No. So that's the bottom line.
So now that we cleared that up.
No, okay. listen, you can have the most politically correct person if they're truly objective. If they would say that a female could play in the NFL, they need to be checked in the insane asylum. Because that, listen, now maybe as a kicker to kick field goals or extra points. But to actually play, come on. Y'all know that's so far-fetched. That's not even, that's not even a judgment.
Nothing to see here. Moving on. Chris in Mandeville. What's going on, Chris, now that we've cleared that up?
So
you're on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network,
Chris. I'm just glad the Cowgirls are soft.
Go ahead, Chris in Mandeville.
Yeah, what's up, Christian?
Hurry up.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's up?
Yeah, man. Hey, I'm glad the Saints are right where we at, 5-1 without Drew. Hey, the one thing, hey, dude, I look at the game with my brother, and I looked at it, and I said, well, do you realize we could have been up then just 13-6 if it wasn't for Michael Thomas for that holding or whatever that he got called and that really killed. But, hey, at least we won the game, and I think our defense is better than last year. And if we keep playing the way we're playing, it's going to be a dogfight in Chicago. It's going to be a dogfight in Chicago. Yeah. And I think it's going to be probably maybe 17-10, 23-10, who knows?
Who cares?
You
know what, Chris? I mean, who wouldn't expect our defense to kick ass against the Bears' offense?
Especially Mitchell Trubisky.
Trubisky or Chase Daniel, whatever. Come on. We should be able to handle the Bears' defense. The Bears' offense. I'm looking at Murray, a young quarterback. He can run all around. He can ad-lib. Look where he's drafted. Now, that might be a different story. But we're not facing, before the bye week, we're not facing Aaron Rodgers. We're not facing Tom Brady. So defense should continue to have success. I think we're that good. I mean, the bottom line, I think we're that good. And again, the middle of the second quarter, the Cowgirls are still struggling, losing 7-3 to the Jets.
You're loving that. All right, coming back to your calls next here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here at Fat Boys Pizza, our home for the point after. 2565 Metairie Road near LeBar Road. I think we're getting ready to do a two-foot challenge. Is that right, Gabe? Are we ready to go? All right, two-foot challenge. Mark is entering the two-foot challenge right now here at Fat Boys. So he's going to try to take down a two-foot slice of pizza in 7 minutes.
7 minutes. Okay, we're counting down. Okay, hold on. We're getting ready to count down. All right. Okay, remember? Three, two, one, go.
There he goes. Man.
Boy, he's ripping that pizza. Look at him.
I hope he has a chance. I hope he does it. Let's see. To the phones we go.
He looks like a professional eater. Boy, that's the contest.
Big Rick on the West Bank. What's going on, Big Rick? You're on the point after on the New Orleans.
Hey, there, Bobby.
Hey, yeah, Big Rick. What you got, man?
What's up, man? How you doing, Bobby? I've been
all right.
Sitting here drinking beers and eating food. And look, I got a question for you.
Okay.
We feel proud of the Saints. We're 4-0 with Teddy. I just want to know this. You know, usually the Seattle has Drew's number. Sometimes the Dallas gives Drew some havoc, you know. I wonder, do you think Drew would have been able to be 4-0 if Teddy wasn't having to play his spot right now? And I'm going to hang up and just listen. Thank you, Bobby.
All right. If Drew is healthy, hell yeah. Without a doubt. Drew Brees is just more accurate than Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know if Drew Brees ever had 5 inaccurate passes in a game. You might say, oh, that's a bad throw by Drew. You might say he might have 1 in like 3 games, not 5 in 1 game. So that, to me, is the difference. Now, Teddy Bridgewater maybe at times can extend plays more than Drew, but Drew tends to get rid of the ball quicker. So he helps out the offensive lineman that way. So you should be able to avoid holding penalties. That wasn't the case against the Rams. But come on, even if we beat the Bears and we beat the Cardinals with Teddy Bridgewater, if you're truly honest, you think that Teddy Bridgewater is a better option than Drew Brees. Now, if Teddy Bridgewater would have played every game he's played since he took over for Drew, like against Tampa Bay, I'd say, whoa, wait.
I have something to think about
yes,
here.
Yes, yeah. I said, I got to think about
Wally
this.
Wally Pipp, you know?
Yeah. Wait, man. Look, Teddy Bridgewater's on fire. But I think he's doing what he has to do to lead the team. And the bottom line is winning. Are you winning or are you losing? Teddy Bridgewater's worried about being a winning quarterback, and that's what it takes. Teddy Bridgewater is a winner. And so, again, that's why, you know, if people bring up the speculation, what if we go undefeated into the bye week? Or what do you do between Teddy and Drew? No, I think Teddy's a backup and Drew's the starter. Now, again, slow your roll. We don't have to make that decision because Drew's not starting against the Bears.
Right.
Teddy Bridgewater got to play against the Bears, so let's see what's going to happen.
I think you also have to give a little credit to the Jacksonville Jaguars and forcing a couple of poor throws as well. Back to the phones we go. Hollywood and Thibodeau, what's going on, Hollywood? You're on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Hello, Bobby. Hello, Chris. How y'all making out?
Hey, Hollywood.
Yeah, I'm watching the Red Zone on TV. Dallas just got held. They went 4-on-4-2, and Prescott was going around, and the Jets stopped him on 4-2, so the Cowboys are struggling bad right now.
Well, that's awesome.
Right.
That shows you the arrogance of Dallas. Oh, we're playing the Jets. Yeah. No, it's the NFL. Come on,
right.
Kick a field goal. The game's over way too early. It's not like you're desperate in the fourth quarter. It's the second quarter. They could have made it 7-6. Now they gave them the ball. They down 7-3.
And, Bobby, I want to give a shout-out to Nicholls State. Y'all forgot the Colonels and Thibodeau. They had a good game yesterday.
Chase Forcade was outstanding, both running and passing the football against Northwestern. Oh, look at the Jets.
Oh,
a bomb. Hell yeah.
They're going to be on top 14-3.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby is pumped. Everybody's pumped out here at Fat Boys to see the Cowboys.
How about them Cowgirls? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Jerry Jones. Hey. Jerry Jones is, listen, I would want to be in that Dallas suite right now in New York. I'd want to be like fist pumping with Jerry Jones right now. I'd be like, hey, what's up, Jerry?
14-3, looks like the Jets are going to go on top of the Cowboys. I'm just saying.
Sam Darnold, listen. Sam Darnold.
98 yards.
Listen, I guarantee you, Sean Payton with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's the future. I'm telling you, he had mono and all that, and, you know, his spleen all flared up and stuff. But Sam Darnold's legit. The Jets got the right quarterback. They just got to get some kind of momentum. But, Sam Darnold could play. I'm a Sam Darnold fan.
Bobby, getting back to the players, Eli Apple and Marshawn Lattimore. Listen to this.
Outstanding.
Gardner Minshew was 1-for-7 with an interception targeting receivers covered by Lattimore. 1-for-7.
Well,
Say
that again now, Christian.
Minshew was 1-for-7 with an interception targeting receivers covered by Lattimore.
Well, Lattimore is putting skins on the wall, and he has to continue to do that. Then he'll get their reputation like a Jalen Ramsey, who didn't play, my back, I want to get traded, I'm disgruntled, I don't want to be on the team.
But Rodney Dangerfield. He's no longer Jalen
Okay,
Ramsey.
But look at DJ Chark. Three receptions, 7 targets, 43 yards. Here was an individual that had gashed the NFL before today. Not so fast. That was not the case. Their leading receiver was Leonard Fournette. So that means you're dumping it off, and he had 46 yards total. So, listen, props go out to our secondary. Christian, it might get to the point if they keep playing at a high level. And I don't know, I never thought I'd maybe say this.
Sign both
that
of them.
That Marshawn Lattimore and Eli Apple might be in the conversation for the best duo cornerbacks. Now, you know, I always talk about Armstead and Ramchek, best offensive tackles. Wait, watch. Now they got to continue to stack it. Listen, speaking of stack it, Christian, you were hitting me. How about Cam Jordan?
Yeah.
When he does this, he's stacking it, and he did the Minshew mustache.
No, he does
twirl.
No handlebar.
Huh?
No, he rocks a handlebar mustache.
Oh, I thought he was
doing it because he.
I thought he was.
You remember
his
Saints media photo? He had the handlebar mustache.
Oh,
That's why he did that.
No, I thought he was stacking that he was mocking Minshew.
No.
Thanks for correcting me.
No, yeah, that's what he always does is stacks levels. But what I'm saying, though, is, look, I think this secondary that was
thought to be perhaps
the weak link? I don't think you have a weak link on this defense anymore.
Listen, Marcus Williams was outstanding today. Von Bell was outstanding. You know the one thing that I've noticed, you know what they do? How well they tackling. You know, overall, did he get it done?
Nope.
Did he win the pizza?
He didn't get it. Valiant effort for Mark, though.
Well, he didn't quite get it.
No. Nope.
Come on, he didn't. another one bites the dust. So close, but he's not the Joey Chestnut of New Orleans. So close, but so far. He almost had it. Almost had it. Look, he's trying to wipe his fingers and his mouth. He looks all right. He's not going to pass out. He's hanging in there. Hey, he's
anybody that's brave enough to attempt that, you know? Listen, Kurt, in Houston, Texas, you're on the point after on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Yeah, gentlemen, y'all doing good?
We're good, thank you.
We're doing great. It's always great when the Saints are winning and the Cowgirls are losing.
Well, I just want to say four things before y'all start talking. Number one, I would like to give a shout-out to my alma mater, Southern University in Baton Rouge.
They
beat Fairview, continuing the sweep of Texas. Also,
like
I predicted early in the year, I predicted that the Saints, I predicted that Teddy was going to go undefeated, being the backup quarterback, because he's going to be the future of the Saints. And I also predicted that the Los Angeles Rams are not going to even make it to the playoffs. And one last thing. I noticed every time they threw a flag on Jacksonville, they always threw a flag on the Saints. I just found that weird. And last thing, who that?
All right, Kurt. Look, hey, if you predicted all those things, good on you, man. I mean, not a lot of people had the Saints going 4-0 without Drew Brees. I mean, so there's some out there that are going to say, because they can say it, and nobody has them on record.
Well, the thing is, any fan that says the Saints are going to go undefeated with Teddy Bridgewater, they predict the Saints are going at worst 14-2 or 16-0. They got members of the Who That Nation. Right. The Saints are never losing. Right. It don't matter who they're playing. So when you truly objective, that you would think, can we go 500? What? Teddy Bridgewater has been a leader and led this team to way above and beyond expectations. I think Sean Payton, if you told him to tell the truth, I think he's even excited where we're at right now. Listen.
You heard what he said in the postgame, right? He said he felt like he told the defense, had they played eight quarters, they wouldn't have scored a touchdown.
Listen, that is unbelievable. To show y'all confidence now against that Jaguar team, the way the game plan with Dennis Allen, what we had, we were playing the Jaguars, that Christian, we could have played eight quarters and they'd have kicked a bunch of field goals. They weren't scoring touchdowns. How the game plan we had and what they were doing, and Sean Payton was that confident and the game plan, what we were doing. And now, Sean Payton gets a little frustrated when, because, listen, everyone has a background. He's an offensive coach. He's probably thinking, like, man, we scored 13 points. We should at least had 20, mm-hmm. right? 20 points. So
but think about
Sean's a little uneasy, but he's the head coach. He's so proud of the defense, and he's letting them know that. So he feels like, okay, when you coach in a game, if he felt like Jacksonville could not score late quarters, so how are you going to call a game? It's like, okay, what is it going to take to get in the end zone and truly have a lead if ever you go in overtime? And you want a two-score lead, then, you know, slam the door, so to speak. But it's amazing how Coach Payton – it like understands this team and how he motivates them.
Think about this. In 2014, 15, or 16, had the Saints not scored a touchdown in a game or scored just 13 points in a game, they would have lost.
Without a doubt.
They would not. They'd have probably gotten blown out.
Well, the thing is, it would have not been pretty. It would have been like, we lost 24-13 or 27-13. Our team sucks or this and that. And, you know, and looking like basically what fans do today is like, come on, listen. Normal fans would be so ticked off at LSU's defense right now when they're giving up. But why they not ticked off? Because the offense is unbelievable. What? that they watch it, what they've never witnessed. Yeah. So all of a sudden, our defense, they hanging in there, boy. Can they make a play? Listen, people like points. They like to be entertained. What did I tell you at halftime? Christian was telling me, I'm going to call Christian out right now.
What did I tell you?
All of a sudden, the game is like a field goal game.
Yeah, I said it was boring.
It was like boring. I go, man, it ain't boring if we win. Christian, you bored? I ain't bored. If we win 6-3, if we win 9-6, 9-3, it ain't boring if we win. Now, if you don't win, then you call them out. I say, come on. Don't be like a young millennial where, oh, I want to shoot out. No, listen, we want winners. We want winners, whatever it takes.
Coming back to your phone calls, we are at Fat Boys Pizza. Come on out and hang out with us here till 6 o'clock tonight. By the way, the Saints return home at around 6:30, so if you're wondering to get out there to the airport, feel free to do so. 2565 Metairie Road is where you can find us. Size matters here at Fat Boys Pizza. This is the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
It was a hard-hitting defensive struggle on a hot afternoon in Florida. And early on, it was another kicking showcase by Will Lutz. But the Saints finally broke the plane of the end zone in the fourth quarter. Meanwhile, the Florida Lee D held the homestanding Jaguars to just two field goals on the afternoon as the Saints post a hard-fought 13-6 win. Teddy Bridgewater was 24 for 36 for 240 yards and the only touchdown of the game, a pass to Jared Cook. A 94.7 QB rating as he continues to play in place of the injured Drew Brees. Alvin Kamara's numbers were down as he was hobbled by a tweaked ankle, but Latavius Murray picked up AK's slack and the Saints ran for 104 yards on the day as a team. Michael Thomas was productive again too. 8 catches for 89 yards, and most importantly, the Black and Gold are now 4-0 since the injury to Brees as they continue to weather his absence. The Saints also sit at 5-1 overall to retain sole possession of first place in the NFC South. The Jaguars, with the loss, fall to 2-4. Life comes at you fast in the NFL, and the Bucs are learning that firsthand. Just last week, Tampa could have taken over first place in the NFC South if they had beaten the Saints in the Superdome. Instead, they fell to 2-3. Then in the first matchup of this week's Sunday slate, Jameis Winston tosses 4 interceptions, and the Panthers avenge their Week 2 loss to the Bucs with a 37-26 win in London. Now Tampa Bay sits at 2-4, while Carolina, soldiering on again this week without Cam Newton, moves to 4-2. Kyle Allen throws for 227 and a pair of touchdowns in place of Newton. He has now got 674 passing yards and 5 touchdowns on the season. Another week, another game that just did not go the way the Browns had hoped. This time they jumped out to a 20-6 lead over the visiting Seahawks, but Russell Wilson did what Russell Wilson does often, mounted a comeback. The Seahawks took their first lead in the third on Wilson's second scoring hookup of the day with Jaron Brown. Then after Nick Chubb gave the lead back to Cleveland, Seattle took it back for good on a 1-yard plunge by Chris Carson. 32-28 the final as the Seahawks moved to 5-1. The Browns dropped to 2-4 on the season. Apparently, Kirk Cousins has been reading the notes in that suggestion box in the Vikings receivers room. The last 2 weeks have seen a huge uptick in production in the Minnesota passing game. And this week, Cousins relocated his big play specialist. Courtesy of KFAN and the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Diggs had 167 yards and 3 touchdowns on the day with 2 house calls of 50-plus yards, and the Vikings grounded the visiting Eagles 38-20. Philly fell behind early and just could never dig out of the hole. Minnesota improves to 4-2. The Eagles drop to 3-3. It was a rocky start at Arrowhead for the Texans, but Deshaun Watson weathered a 2-interception day to throw for a touchdown and run for 2 more as he outduels Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs 31-24. Kansas City has now lost 2 straight after starting 4-0. Both the Chiefs and Texans are 4-2. Speaking of teams that are not having the season that they thought they might have, the Bengals got off to a great start today, returning the opening kickoff of today's divisional showdown in Baltimore 92 yards for a score, courtesy of Brandon Wilson. Alas, it quickly fell apart from there, as they had no answer for Lamar Jackson. The Ravens quarterback had 236 yards through the air and 152 on the ground. He and Mark Ingram both found the end zone on the ground, and they survived a late surge to hold on for a 23-17 win. Baltimore moves to 4-2 and continues to lead the AFC North. Cincy drops to a league worst 0-6. Rookie wideout Terry McLaurin continues to be the only bright spot in a long season for Washington, but they can also take themselves off the list of the NFL's win list. McLaurin had 100 yards and 2 touchdowns today on just 4 catches to help Washington squeak past the Dolphins 17-16 to improve to 1-5 on the season. The Fins, meanwhile, still looking for that first victory. They fall to 0-5. The 3 o'clock slate of games features 4 matchups, and we'll take a look at what those are doing right now. In Los Angeles, San Francisco 49ers taking on the Rams. And the Niners just took the lead in that one 13-7, courtesy of a Jimmy Garoppolo 1-yard touchdown plunge. So far, Garoppolo has 188 yards passing on the day, 1 pick. Jared Goff, meanwhile, 7-for-8, but just for 27 yards. Not much offense going for the Rams as they trail the Niners 14-7. San Francisco looking to remain the only unbeaten team in the NFC. They head into the weekend at 4-0. We'll see if they can survive. The Rams sitting at 3-2. The Dallas Cowboys in a bit of trouble in the Big Apple as the New York Jets have now jumped out to a huge lead over the boys. Le'Veon Bell with a 2-yard touchdown run and Sam Darnold with 2 touchdown passes on the day, a 5-yarder to Ryan Griffin and a 92-yarder to Robbie Anderson as the Jets lead 21-6. The Jets looking for their first win of the season. They come in at 0-4, Dallas sitting at 3-2. That game is at the half. The Arizona Cardinals currently doubling up the Atlanta Falcons 20-10. Arizona and Falcons have 2 wins between them. The Cardinals looking to get their second win of the season and second win for rookie quarterback Kyler Murray. They're 1-3-1 on the year. The Falcons sitting at 1-4. The stat line so far in that game, Kyler Murray 18-for-24, 254 yards and a touchdown. Matt Ryan just 98 yards through the air, but 11-of-13 passing. He's been fairly efficient. And one other game ongoing at the moment, not much to speak of in the Mile High City as the Denver Broncos lead the Tennessee Titans at the half 6-0. Later tonight, one more game on tap in primetime as the Pittsburgh Steelers head out west to take on the Los Angeles Chargers. That game kicks off at 7:20 tonight. And then tomorrow night, a big showdown on Monday Night Football, the Green Bay Packers hosting the Detroit Lions at 7:15. That is your Miller Lite NFL scoreboard. I'm Mark Menard. We'll be back with more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Tremendously great day. Welcome in to the Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, 2565 Metairie Road at Fat Boys Pizza in Metairie. It's a glorious day. The Saints continue their winning ways. They go and beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 13-6, run their record to 5-1. And at the half, the New York Jets are beating the Dallas Cowboys 21-6. But the Cowboys just drilled a 62-yard field goal. That was impressive.
Yeah, well, Jerry Jones knows he has the right kicker. I don't know if he has the right team. So we got to wait and see. But, yeah, come on. They scored 6 points at half. You got to give it to them. They're hanging in there.
Against the Jets defense? I mean, that was just giving up.
They're hanging in there, and the Big Apple. I hope the Jets come out the second half with a lot of confidence, and you know what? Put it to the Cowgirls, so we wait and see what's going to happen.
For the Saints today, Latavius Murray, his most effective day and the most touches he's gotten all
well,
year.
Well, Christian, I'm looking at it. He had 8 attempts rushing. 44 yards. He averaged 5.5 yards a carry. He had 3 receptions, 35 yards, basically 12 yards a carry. Christian, he might have been nipping on close to 100 if they don't call the penalty. And Michael Thomas, I don't know, that's because you want your receivers blocking downfield, but you almost have to know when you got to let go so the official doesn't call it because Murray would have had a touchdown on that screen. Now, Coach Payton said, I don't agree with the call. But if I'm being objective, that was holding. They will call that. You cannot tug on the jersey. But Latavius Murray, because of that play, maybe he was motivated because he did not sleep. He did not rest. And his wife just had a newborn. Maybe he needs to have a bunch of newborns and not rest. Because Latavius Murray did not look tired.
I like how you tell people how to do things in their family.
Well, he did not look tired. All I know is I'm looking at Latavius Murray. Christian, 8 rushing attempts. He had 3 receptions. So I would say going forward, I would give Latavius Murray at least double-digit touches. 10 plus.
I think Alvin Kamara needs that.
10, 11, 12 to help Alvin Kamara. Now, Alvin Kamara had 18 touches. If you look at 11 rushing attempts, he had seven receptions. So when you look at where Kamara was at, obviously dealing with a bum knee and an ankle and all that, you need to have that 1-2 punch like we had with Ingram. I think they can complement one another, and I think this is a big game going forward that Murray had this kind of game. Because he's a big dude. When I look at him, he should never be knocked backwards. I mean, he's like getting hit and falling forward, or you break a tackle. So hopefully Coach Payton will get Latavius Murray at least double-digit touches every game going forward.
Right now, the Arizona Cardinals on top of the Atlanta Falcons 27-13.
Well, they get fired a coach.
Dan Quinn's done if they lose
this game.
Arthur
Blank's going to be like, what the? But actually, you look at the threat right now in the NFC
Carolina.
South is Carolina without Cam Newton. There's not 32 quarterbacks better than Cam Newton, but Cam Newton might have to go somewhere else instead of playing at Carolina. Watch Christian Kyle Allen, how they structured and what they're doing. I don't know, but right now, the Saints basically have not even started playing the NFC South. I mean, who's their competition? You'd have to say, as of late, the Carolina Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we thought it might be Tampa Bay, but Tampa Bay lose back-to-back games. And they lose two division games to the Saints and Carolina. And then you look at the Falcons. They are truly the Falcons right now.
Same way I feel about the Browns, the same way I feel about the Buccaneers. Until they do it. Because we've been hearing, oh, this is the year.
Until
they do it,
around.
I'm not buying in on them. I'm just not.
Well, the thing is, I'm a Bruce Arians fan, but until they do it, then you got to say, okay, maybe they have the ability, the potential, but you got to do it first before I'm going to believe in you. I think a lot of people even take that approach with the 49ers, you know, where they're at, considering – you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, he's been injured, a lot of potential, but they haven't won it forever. The cream of the crops there has been, as of late, 21st century. Even the Cardinals more than the 49ers. Then, obviously, you look at the Seahawks. Then you look at the Rams as late. So that'll be interesting. The 49ers playing with a lot of confidence, and they know how meaningful that game is right now with the Rams. But, if the Rams lose three straight, Christian, they might turn into the Lambs. Huh? Come on.
Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah. If they lose three straight, because it just shows you, and they're down right now 14-7 in the third quarter to the 49ers. What have you done for me lately? And this is in L.A. This is not in the Bay Area. This is in L.A. So, you know, I think I'm glad we got San Fran down the road in New Orleans.
Well, their success is on the ground. They want to run the football.
Yeah.
And the Saints have proven over the last – I mean, they stuffed Zeke. They stuffed Leonard Fournette. They can stop the run. They're going to force Jimmy Garoppolo. And, look, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be a good quarterback. I just remember Tom Brady the year he came back from his ACL injury. He was just inaccurate at times. It just happens. It's a function of that position if you're dealing with that injury. And I think Jimmy Garoppolo is next year, I will take Jimmy Garoppolo very seriously.
Well, and listen, a healthy Drew Brees, who would you take, Jimmy Garoppolo or a healthy Drew Brees?
In
the Superdome? Come on. That's not even close.
Right.
Now be interesting come playoff time, and people might not agree with this. I would not like the Packers and Aaron Rodgers in the Dome against the Saints and Drew Brees. I would not like that. I'm just being honest.
I totally get it. Matt, you know, and Gretna, you're on the Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Go ahead.
Hey, man. Thank you guys for having me on. I was kind of looking forward to next week's game. I know we're playing Chicago Bears, and just maybe what you guys' thoughts were on. I think our O-line matches up better against the Bears, like bigger physical team, than I think Dallas. It was a struggle with them being a faster team. Like, what's your guys' thoughts on that?
Good question.
Yeah, when I look at the Bears, how they fly to the football, that Boy, it's amazing with Vic Fangio, what he established there, and they haven't missed a beat. I mean, he goes to Denver to be the head coach, and, you know, you implement different schemes, but it's all about the players. You know, you point them in the right direction. Listen, I would say shame on our defense if we don't have success against Chicago.
I agree.
Listen, now, if our offense can score in the teens, that might be impressive. If Teddy Bridgewater, for instance, could score 17 points, I would say, Christian, if you told me right now we're going to score 20 points against the Bears,
you're going to win.
I would say, well, we should win. Because I would expect our defense to be able to contain Chicago. Now, I know they're going to be playing at home, but kind of just the ebb and flow of a game, how it would occur, that I'm not definitely confident in our offense to kick the Bears' defense behind. No, I don't think that happened. You got to limit the turnovers, even though Bridgewater might not be as successful as you want him to be, but you cannot give the Bears a short field and end up on that plus side turnover margin.
Matt's right, though. The Cowboys are fast, and so. But here's the thing. The Bears are big, and they're fast. Okay, I mean, you got Khalil Mack. That guy is a nightmare.
Akeem Hicks.
Yeah, Akeem Hicks, Baby Rhino, as he's called. He causes a lot of problems. And in the secondary, Eddie Jackson back there. I mean, they've just got some players. I think it's Will Fuller at another corner.
The thing is, they've got some players that can cause serious problems. How we've evaluated the Saints' offense overall and a number of years, if they weren't number one, they might be in the top three for sure, top five, you know, over a 13-year period. It's like you view the Bears' defense. Well, they're not number one. Vice versa, then the top three, right, for sure, top five. So that's, no, it's going to be that kind of challenge, and you're playing at Chicago. I would love nothing more than to humble the Bears.
Top Bears.
And Mike Ditka and Saturday
Life
Night.
Life-size Ditka or mini Ditka?
I don't know, Saturday Night Live and all them Bears skits and all that, that we would humble them and win at Chicago, because that catches the nation's attention. You win at Chicago, it's like winning at New York, or you winning at Los Angeles. There's a lot of people watching. Mm-hmm. Now, in general, people watch Saints football because they're that good. But you have a lot of Midwest interest playing against the Bears in Chicago. There are a lot of fans watching. So can we come away with a win? I think that'd be really impressive. It doesn't matter if it's an ugly win. Again, I don't care if it's 13-10, 17-13, just come away with a win. And it's amazing. You know why the national media is giving the Saints credit? Because Drew Brees is not playing. And they thought no way in hell the Saints would keep winning without Drew Brees and Teddy Bridgewater. I don't care if it was Taysom Hill or if it was Teddy Bridgewater. The national perspective said, oh, the Saints are done. The Saints are done. Drew Brees is out. They're not going to do anything. That shows you the Saints roster and what we have as a team. And that's why they say, whoa, the Saints, man, you know, top to bottom, look at their roster. If they're not the best, then the conversation top to bottom. Then you got to give Mickey Loomis, Jeff Ireland, Sean Payton a lot of credit.
Terry Fontenot,
all of those cats, the scouting department, that the team top to bottom we have on hand.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, live from Fat Boys Pizza, 2565 Metairie Road. It's the point after here on the New Orleans
Saints. And, you know, the Hoodie Nation, talking about Thomas Morrison, look at those punts. Listen, we don't have a weakness in all phases. The only weakness we have is Harris is a little shaky on the return game sometimes.
Back here at Fat Boys Pizza, 2565 Metairie Road. Near LeBar Road, Fat Boys Pizza, the two-foot challenge, home of the two-foot challenge. Size matters. Welcome into the point after here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. A family-style restaurant serving up huge slices of pizza, ice-cold draft, and bottled beer, daiquiris, and delicious sides, 10 TVs, and outdoor dining. Lots of space, so come on out and enjoy some great food. Bobby and myself during our broadcast until about 6 o'clock, then stick around to watch NFL Sunday Night Football where the Steelers play the Chargers. To the phones we go. Joey in Mandeville. What's going on, Joey? You're on the Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Real quick side note before I make my point. Bobby, the reason you're so popular with the Houdat Nation is you don't have a single politically correct in that Cajun body of yours. Keep it up. The
Hell no. I ain't got no politically correct. I mean, come on. If you thin skin, I mean, I don't know. You got to move to a different planet. I mean, to be all this political correctness, the bottom line is, come on, you got to be able to handle stuff. And listen, I am anti-bully. I'm not. I'm totally against bullies. But the thing is, it gets so ridiculous about this political correctness that it's a sham. I mean, it gets to the point where it's overboard. I mean, I watched South Park, and if you look at it, listen, it's a cartoon, and they're so right that sometimes it's crazy. The political correct police. Okay, hello.
PC police.
The PC police are the political correct principle. Hello. Like what? I mean, come on. I mean, no, guy, come on. Listen, oh, dudes, boy. Grow a pair. I mean, come on.
Can you imagine a girl taking that hit from DeMario Davis like Swain did? She would be.
No.
You know,
no. A female can be a professional player if they can kick. I think down the road you can have a female professional kicker.
Who was the soccer player that had a couple of workouts?
She took too many steps to make that 50-yard kick. It would have gotten blocked. You got to have
but
the
who,
legs.
Who was? Well, I'm sure.
I mean, I don't know. It was the top soccer player. Someone will educate me. What's her name, Mark?
Carly Lloyd.
Carly Lloyd.
That's Carly Lloyd. Okay. Carly Lloyd was very accurate with that kick. Now, if she wants to be a professional kicker, you got to shorten those steps because how fast you got to get a field goal off or an extra point. Now then you got to kick off and all. But to me, I think you will see how you developed as an athlete, a female professional kicker. But any other position, hell no. Come on. In the SEC, you think you're going to have a top female player? I mean, a linebacker, a strong safety? Or a wide receiver? No, you can be a kicker. You can be a kicker. That's being objective. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. Listen, I love feminine women. I love masculine women. I love all women. But the bottom line is that you got to know where you stand. Come on.
And yep. Small, hard men. You love those too.
The whole thing is that I look at even in the military going forward. Who you want to be in the foxhole with? I would not be against a woman who could pass the test to be a Ranger or to be a Navy SEAL or a Marine, but pass the same test. Okay, who got your back? And you know what?
From a guy that served? Hey, I have no problem. If they can pass it,
you got to pass the same test. Don't tweak the test. Everybody's the same. So, listen, it goes overboard. And listen, and I have a couple of daughters. So I have two granddaughters. Listen, I know how we develop and how we built. All I know is hand-to-hand combat, which would have taken the NFL. They ain't no such thing as a female Ronnie Lott. They ain't no female Ronnie Lott is going to knock the crap out of you. Who all of a sudden gets his pinky caught in the jersey, and he just tells the trainer to cut it off. He makes a tackle, cut off my pinky, and I'm going to keep playing. Come on. I mean, come on.
I'm with you.
What? I ain't hating on nobody. I'm just telling the truth.
Scott in Pineville. You're on the Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, Scott.
Hey, guys. Considering the offense today was definitely a little disappointing, especially in the red zone efficiency. But, man, that defense is just looking, like, better every week. I mean, you know, they're stout, no doubt about it.
It's looking like, it's, as Bobby put it, and I agree with him, they're trending in an elite defense direction.
Listen, right now we middle the pack. We got to keep putting skins on the wall. And not you do it every now and then. You do it for like a month or a couple of months. That's what the Bears have done. The team we played
last
Sunday.
Season too. They did, you know.
at the back end.
Yeah. I'm talking about the Bears all year.
Oh, no, the Bears did it all year.
Right.
We did it on the back end. So now can we build upon whether Drew Brees is there or Teddy Bridgewater? Then we want be in the middle of the pack will be top 10. Whoa. Now listen to this, Who Dat Nation. What if we have a top 10 defense and you got Sean Payton and still Drew Brees this year? We could potentially have a top 10 offense and defense. Hello.
I don't think they get beat.
Come on.
I don't think they would get beat.
Now, the only way you get beat is you can't turn over the football.
Sure.
How you end up on the plus side right now, which is encouraging. We did not turn over the ball. We were plus one. We plus two for the season. I wish we'd be more like
four or five
around there. Christian, that's a good point. You brought that up, plus four or five. But the bottom line is if we don't turn over the ball, we're not going to lose. We are not going to lose under Sean Payton. That's what we have achieved. And, listen, it's not sugarcoating anything. That is a fact. And I'm trying to look at my damn notes. I can't find it. Where
look for the blue highlighter thing. You look that's it right there.
So it's somewhere where I have – got it right here. Oh, well, listen, right now, you think about under Sean Payton. Again, I'm going to bring this up. When we commit zero turnovers, under Sean Payton, we've won 40 games and lost five. So I don't care if it's Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill, Drew Brees. Don't turn over the ball. We ain't freaking losing. If we 40-5, now our defense, scoring defense, we want our defense to be top 10. Okay? Listen, you might give up a few points. We give up 20 or fewer points. We've won 75 games and lost 8. Huh? What? That is freaking domination. That is the other stat that's dominant. It doesn't matter if we turn over the ball. Can we? Because we dropped a couple of picks. We could have been – Last week,
lost two of them because of penalties.
Listen, when we force three turnovers, it doesn't matter if we turn it over back. We 32 wins and 6 losses. Listen, we got a team. We got the right coach. We got the right formula. Who that? It doesn't matter. Listen, it's not even Drew that no more because our team is that good.
It's team that.
It's team that. It is team that right now, offense, defense, and special teams. I'm not sugarcoating anything. Listen, that is not an opinion. That's fact. That's fact. And when everybody says, like, oh, hey, Barry, you just love the Saints. What? All I know is the proof's in the pudding. Who that?
Saints All-Pro defenseman had 2 sacks. Cam Jordan spoke to the media following the Saints' 13-6 victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Brought to you by Hood Automotive Group. Everything automotive under one hood. Take a listen. Cam Jordan, Saints All-Pro defensive end after the Saints' 13-6 victory. We're at Fat Boys Pizza here in Metairie, 25-65. Coming back, we're going to talk to Trent Gunter, here at Fat Boys, one of the managers. Does a great job taking care of us. We love being here. This is The Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, live from Fat Boys Pizza in Metairie, 2565 Metairie Road near LeBar Road, our new home for The Point After. We welcome in now Trent Gunter, one of the managers here. For whatever reason, I can't say that last name.
Yeah,
one of the managers here at Fat Boys.
Christian, you can't say Gunter?
I can. Gunter. Yeah,
Gunter, like right. Sue Gunter, the right. Coach of a legendary LSU right. basketball
any
coach.
Kin?
There you go.
Any relation?
No relation. No relation there. No relation at all. Just got the last name. I'll take it there.
Trent, we've had a blast being here, man.
Great, man. We're always happy to have you here. We
love being here. And just talk about this. This is truly a family friend. I mean, it's family oriented. I mean,
oh, 100%.
Outdoor seating.
Oh, yeah.
Bring the kids, get some pizza, have a bottle or a glass of wine. Have a couple beers. I mean, you can accommodate all that.
Oh, yeah. And you know what, Gunner? You know what I'm thinking of?
Trent.
Gunner, his last name,
okay.
Right?
Okay, all right. So he's going by his last name.
I can call him Gunner. I say Aber. You can call him Gunner. You have to call him Trent.
Okay, all right.
You know what's awesome? Not too many pizza places have available Camus wine.
Oh, yeah? You're right about that. By the bottle, too.
Oh, let me tell you. Right? When I look at, like, a fine wine and you're eating pizza.
Right. No, exactly.
So here you can come here. You can have your cake and eat it, too.
Right.
A fine wine and feed your kids. Here, eat this slice. Eat this slice.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Come on. Now, when you listen, you ain't getting another pizza joint to have Caymus wine.
Well, I mean, that's one of the biggest things we try to strive for here. I mean, you guys can come in, sit at the bar, split a bottle of Caymus wine, give the kids a handful of quarters, you know, go pump some into the claw machine, and or if you yourself are feeling good, go pop into the video poker, and, you know, we have ourselves a good time.
And it's a great place to watch the game. 10 TVs. I mean,
oh, yeah.
And not to mention, every time the Saints score, you guys hand out some shots,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. The jello shot time. And now we have our big air raid siren that goes off every time for Saints or LSU scores. Everybody knows it's the shot siren at this point.
There you go. I like it. And it's easy to get to for a Saints home game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you're coming back this way,
yeah.
Whether you're going to the North Shore, you're coming to Metairie, you're going to Kenner, whatever. All you got to do is shoot down Metairie Road or
absolutely.
Airline to LaBar.
Absolutely. You come by and grab you a slice where you're going to catch the Saints coming in town. What'd you say, around 6:30?
6:30, yeah.
There you go. Come on, grab you a pizza and take it with you.
You know what I like, Christian, too? You can bring your family here and you feel safe.
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's one of the biggest things.
Safe atmosphere, and you can come here and you're not worried about, okay, what's going to happen? I go in the parking lot. No, this is great opportunity to come here and support the Saints right here at Fat Boys Pizza.
Absolutely. No one loves the Saints more than we do. We just fed the coaching staff just this past week, just past Thursday. We made a big old delivery out to the practice facility.
Awesome.
So, yeah, no one loves the Saints more than Fat Boys, that's for sure. We're going to call it Dat Boys.
Dat Boys.
Trent, what's the biggest pie here?
Biggest pie, that's our 30-inch pizza. That's what we do, pizzas by the slice. All of our big slices are cut from our 30-inch pizza. So you're probably getting about, I don't know, maybe about a foot slice, you know, on the average. It's not like our 2-foot slice that Chestnut came in town and conquered. But yeah, man, it's and they say size matters, and it follows through with everything we do here.
I heard you took the 2-foot challenge, huh?
I did. I did it myself. 6 minutes and 10 seconds.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So that means you're a professional eater, right?
If you want to say that.
Yeah.
I'm more like a professional taster.
Yeah, taster, okay.
How did you get that down?
Quickly enough. Like I said, 6 minutes crept up on me quick. But it's one of those things, like I tell everybody, that the challenge isn't the challenge in the 7 minutes. It's the day after.
Oh,
it's
surviving
the heartburn and everything else.
Well, he probably starved himself, and like he was so hungry.
Bobby, have you seen me? There's nothing. I'm not starving, I promise.
No, exactly. I agree with that.
Like me, Trent, you don't look like you miss many meals.
No,
like
not
like
at
me.
All.
I try not to. All right, so Saints and Bears, give me a prediction for next week.
Woo! Going up to Chicago, it's going to be a good one.
The Bears?
No, I'm not. Okay. I'm not me personally. Now, I will say, we do have a pretty good, strong Bears fan base down here.
Yeah, Chicago pizza and all that.
Right?
That is pizza country, right?
Right. It is. In fact, a couple of good friends, myself, are diehard Bears fans. We plan on going to watch the
game
somewhere.
Don't talk to them.
Exactly, right? But to be honest with you, the way the Saints have been looking, I know it's not looking good for Breeze next week. But if we can just charge through one more week, I think the odds are in our favor.
Well, think about it. It's Lanyap right now because you're 4-0 without Drew Breeze.
4-0 without Drew Breeze.
Exactly.
I think the Bears' defense is amongst the best, but their offense is El Seco. Come on. The Bears' offense is nothing to write home about.
No,
so,
not at all. Wait, we got another one?
Dallas just missed another.
Dallas missed it.
Yes, yes. Listen, the best day in Saints football. Now, some people might not agree with this. It's always great because the prima donnas in the NFL, the cowgirls.
Yep.
It's always great when the Saints win.
That's right.
And the cowgirls lose. Yeah. Who that?
Who that?
Gunter, one of the managers here at Fat Boys Pizza. Once again, Trent, you guys do a great job.
Thank you, man.
Taking care of us and certainly all your patrons.
For sure,
man. We love coming here.
We love having you every week.
Hey, for instance, all
you're
you're
learning quickly. You're not going to get much words in.
No. All you cowgirl fans in Louisiana, you got to freaking move to Texas. You got to go. You got to leave. Why in the hell are you in Louisiana cheering for Dallas if the Saints are relevant.
That's right.
Now, I can understand if the Saints aren't relevant. But the Saints are winners, and the Cowgirls are losers. Hell yeah. Who that?
Who that? This is a good time to go to a break here at the point after at Bad Boys Pizza and Metairie on the New Orleans
Cheer
Saints.
Cheer for the Cowgirls. You got to move to Beaumont, Lufkin.
Get out of town, right?
Longview. You got to go. You can be East Texas. You got to go. You got to get out of town.
Trent,
come
thanks,
on.
Man.
Cheer
Thank you, guys.
Saints.
We got to go, Bobby. Back here at Fat Boys Pizza, 2565 Metairie Road. For the point after here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, the Saints win in Jacksonville, 13-6. Jack in Kentucky's been patiently waiting. Go ahead, Jack. You're on the point after on the New Orleans Saints.
Hey, Christian, Shimmer Brown, thank you for taking my call, guys.
Jack, hold on. I always like anyone that's out of the state representing the Houdat Nation in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Jack, tell me your background before you make your point, how you ended up in Kentucky, and how you love the Saints.
Well, I'm a retired Air Force. I actually did some of my duty before down at Keesler Air Force Base in Biloxi, pre-Katrina, actually. My first Saints game was when Aaron Brooks was playing back in 2002. Well, okay, long story short, I know I've got I don't have much. I guess I have a short time, but 2019 could easily have been the most depressing year for the New Orleans Saints. But just like the people down on the Gulf Coast, they can take the biggest tragedies and turn them into triumph. I'm
Hell
so proud of the Saints, and really, I wish everybody on the Saints the best of success. Thanks again, Bobby, for taking my call, sir.
All right, thanks for calling. Representing the Houdat Nation in Kentucky versus the Gulf Coast in Mississippi. Yeah, listen, come on. We all know the Florida Panhandle. Look, Gulf Shores in the South, Mobile. It depends where you're going towards North Alabama. But, Mississippi, Gulf Coast, Louisiana, come on. That is like Houdat Nation country above and beyond board. They might as well be part of New Orleans. It's almost like extended territory. That's why I always say, listen, the Patriots used to be the Boston Patriots, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, they become the New England Patriots. So New Hampshire, Vermont, it's the same thing with the Saints. It might be called the New Orleans Saints, but it is truly Gulf South, Gulf Coast Saints. It's amazing the impact that we have all the way into Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana.
Some of our affiliates. A lot of our affiliates.
Yes, yes. Love the Saints.
The Saints Radio Network affiliates. We have several in Pensacola. Yes. We have one in Pensacola. We got one in Alabama. Several in, across the Gulf South.
Houdat Nation.
Much interest. And into Mississippi as well. So
yeah, Houdat Nation.
Craig in Rules. Madisonville. What's going on, Craig? You're on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Oh, yeah. What's up, guys? The question that's on everybody's mind is, what happens after the bye week with Teddy Bridgewater? Do we create a new package for him? Do we keep him in? Do we sideline him? Do we have him learn? Like, that's my biggest thing. The defense is doing their thing, but what does Teddy Bridgewater do after
Teddy
the bye week?
Teddy Bridgewater after the bye week is like a coach. And he's in the meeting room, and he's helping Drew Brees and Taysom Hill, and he's ready to play if Drew Brees gets knocked out. Taysom Hill is going to – hold on. I didn't even hear what you said. Hold on. We got to wait. Taysom Hill is playing every freaking game. Taysom Hill is a part of every game plan. Special teams, offense, come on. Are you kidding me?
You don't need
me?
To create a game plan for Teddy Bridgewater.
No, no. And listen, that's right.
When Drew comes
back. And Taysom Hill is a part of what we're doing every week. Now, Teddy Bridgewater, you're the insurance policy that you hope you don't have to cash in. Now, we're already cashing in. We're paying that cat $7 million. I think that is money well spent. Are you freaking kidding me? Look what Teddy Bridgewater has done. so far for the Saints. Oh, listen.
4-0 record.
Listen, that speaks for itself. So now you never know what's going to happen down the road. So listen, Teddy has a role. Drew Brees obviously is going to have a role going forward. And Taysom Hill. But Taysom Hill is part of every game plan every week. We want him to be able to roll. Are we protecting Taysom Hill? Think about that.
No,
we're not protecting him. What are you talking about? They have some Who Dat Nation member said, no, we're not protecting him. We're putting in him. He's in the game freaking blocking mothers. You know, he is out there blocking.
He's making tackles.
Running
over people.
Yes. Oh, listen, Taysom Hill is a warrior. He's part of the game plan, not purely as a quarterback.
Bobby
now, he
Hebert.
Might come in as a quarterback now and then, but he's not a pure quarterback.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick will wrap up the point after here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network next. Right now, San Francisco on top of L.A. 20-7. Welcome back. To L.A. Rams. Welcome back to the point after here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network at Fat Boys Pizza in Metairie. Our home for the point after, the New York Jets on top of the Dallas Cowboys, 21-9. And the, the Arizona Cardinals are on top of Atlanta, 34-27, 5 minutes to go in that ballgame. So it could be, we could have a glorious day. You see the Dallas Cowboys lose and the Atlanta Falcons lose and the Saints win.
Well, the bottom line is you look at the NFC, and I'm always intrigued.
Cowboys just scored a touchdown.
Yeah, just scored, but 6.5 minutes left. And listen. I'm looking at Jerry Jones and his son and their fist pump. What are you fist pumping? You're playing the Jets and you scored a touchdown. You're not even winning with 6 minutes left. No, listen.
You're facing an 0-4 team that's got you on the ropes.
Dallas is desperate. The Cowgirls are desperate, and they want to win. That's the bottom line. Now, the Falcons, if you look at where they're at right now, who knows? They're going to change coaches.
I think they lose to the Cardinals. I think Dan Quinn's done.
He might believe.
They say Arthur Blank said earlier in the week that he's not in a rush to move away from Dan Quinn. But when an owner says that, that means he's going to do it.
Well, it's almost like, what is the term, Christian, that you actually acknowledge a person that you're supporting? What is the term when you say someone that you come out on behalf of them?
Public support?
No, it's not public support.
Coming to their defense?
Oh, come on, Who Dat Nation. You got to help me out here. You have to help out.
Endorse.
No, listen. A public endorsement. Good job, Casey. A public endorsement.
We got to get ready to go here.
A public endorsement is like, that's the kiss of death. When you all of a sudden, the owner's giving that to the coach. If you're doing your job, you don't need no public endorsement by the owner.
That's a wrap.
On
the point after bad. Here at Fat Boys Pizza in Metairie. I'm Christian Garrick, Semper Fi. I'm out. Bobby, do your thing, man.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who dat?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.